Well, good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. Are we all here this morning? Say, I'm here.
I'm here.
All right. Well, you know who's not here today? Our lovely piano player, Kathy. So she's leaving us on our own today. So we thought we would open up with a acapella song about prayer. So we'll open that up, and then we'll have prayer, and then continue our worship service this morning. So will you all please stand and sing with us?
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me.
Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for our wonderful church and our church family. And God, I thank you so much. And we can come here this morning and lift our hearts and our mouths to you, God, as we sing praises because, God, we love you. And we want to express our love to you this morning through our praise. And Lord, I pray that you will be with us and your Holy Spirit will be upon us. And Lord, especially your Holy Spirit upon Larry this morning as he brings your word to us, God. Speak mightily through him. As always, you God, you have everything in control, and we put our trust in you, God. And I thank you for it all, in your son, Jesus. Amen.
So just a couple of announcements. Very, very important. Next Sunday, we will not be here. There will be nobody in this building next Sunday because we're going to be at the church picnic at Brook Hills Park, and the information is inside your bulletin. There will be no Sunday school or anything next week. We show up at the park. We will have church service at 11 o'clock. Ask everybody to bring a covered dish with you. bring a friend with you. Y'all know what that's about pretty much. So Brook Hills Park, next Sunday, 11 o'clock, will be no one here. Do not forget, we have moved the church business meeting to August 31st. Wednesday, August 31st at 6:30 will be the business meeting. So we've moved that up. So please mark your calendars for that. You get in there to the rest of your bulletins for the RU 1835 Fellowship at Eva's house. And there's a new Bible study that's going to be beginning on Wednesday nights on August 24th. It's entitled Forgotten by God. And the class will be taught by Zeke McGullough. So read your bulletins, but don't forget, next week we won't be here. We'll be at Brook Hills. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Now we all begin singing with this holy water.
Forgiveness, it's like sweet honey on my lips.
is nothing like the forgiveness of God. Amen.
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 Traveling among us, and those are having some health issues. But Lord, we just pray that you put your protection upon them. You will help them in their time. But Lord, in this place today, there's a sweet, sweet spirit. There really, truly is. And we just love you. You are so good. You are so kind. You are above all things. You are in all things. And Lord, that's why we put our faith and trust in you. Because apart from you, we have nothing in this world that's worth of any value at all. So we lift up your name in song and praise. And now, Lord, it's time to lift up your word. And Lord, I pray that you would allow me to do that. If I'm not the one to speak today, I'm going to say something that's not true, it's out of your will. Lord, I pray that you would silence my lips and you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. Lord, but in your word that you will help us today. You will move in us today in a very powerful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's hot in here, don't you think so? It's hot in here. I just want to remind you all that I'm stepping out of this series of the Fruit of the Spirit till after I get back from vacation in September. But I just want to remind you that if you're wondering why is he not preaching on the Fruit of the Spirit, well, it's because we have a guest speaker next week at our picnic, and then I have one Sunday, and then I leave, and the next topic is patience. I thought I'd give you something to be patient for, all right? So just a reminder. So this morning, get your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And while you're doing that, let me ask you, what do you focus on in your life? What is the main focus in your life? What do you focus on? A lot of pastors will say this. Well, what you're truly focused on, look in your checkbook. That'll tell you a lot about what you're focused on. And so anyway, there's what's important in your life. But what are you focused on? What is the major focus in your life? I mean, if you ever really stop to evaluate that question, you ever stop to think about that question? I mean, really, ask yourself, what direction is my life going in? And what is the major focus that I have for my life? So what are you focused on? Because what you are focused on will determine how you live life. It'll determine how you see life and how you feel about life. You see, if you are focused in on all the things that are wrong, do we know people like that? They are, or what we call that, a pessimist, right? If all you focus on is all the things that are going wrong and all the things that are going bad and all the things that you don't get and all the things that you don't that don't come your way, then life becomes miserable. You live miserably. You're living in a negative all the time. However, when you begin to focus in on those things that God has blessed you with, do you know what happens? The other things begin to fade away. When you focus on what God has truly blessed you with and you begin to be ecstatic about that things that God has done for you. Have you ever really stopped to think about what has God done for me in my life? What has God done in my life? I got to share my life with somebody here this last week and I thought, man, God has done so much in my life. Until I started thinking about it, I didn't really realize it. And you ever think about what God is doing for you right now? And there comes this, and when you start thinking that, there comes this anticipation of what God will do, what's God going to do for you and through you. Get that? Not just for you, but what's he going to do through you? And you say, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but life is just so emotional. We are thrown from one emotion to another and to the point that it keeps us all stirred up and off balance. Well, let me just say, what we focus on has a lot to do with those emotional swings and how we deal with them in our life. And there is a person in Scripture that I believe who can relate to this as well, who undoubtedly had a swing of emotions. They wanted to keep him, that emotions that wanted to keep him unbalanced and keep him unfocused. And his name is Moses. However, his focus made all the difference.
made all the difference in his life. It made all the difference in his direction, and it made all the difference in his relationship with God, which is the most important thing, right? It made a difference in his relationship with God as a believer. In Exodus chapter 32 and 33, we can see this in his life, where Moses has been up on the mountain for 40 days with God. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. By the way, the title of this sermon is focusing on the glory of God. But Moses is up there on the mountain for 40 days with God. Think about that. He has spent 40 days in the literal presence of Almighty God himself. I know, right? How do you get that, right? And then all of a sudden, God turns to him. As they're fellowshipping, they're in the presence, he's in the glory of God, right? They're sitting there for 40 days, and all of a sudden, God turns his head towards him and says, look, God just says, you need to get down off this mountain. Get down and you need to get down to where the people are, for they have corrupted themselves. And so there goes Moses. He starts down the mountain, and he heads down the mountain. And no doubt, somewhere on his journey down that mountain, he looks over and he looks down over across over the edge of that mountain, where he sees that the people are involved in gross immorality. And they're gathered themselves around a golden image that Aaron had made. And he had to have gone. I want you to think about that. 40 days, literal presence of God. God says, you go down, your people. And he stops and looks. Could you imagine the emotional swing? Could you imagine that he had gone from one emotion extreme to the other in a matter of minutes? Anything like that ever happened to you? But now let me tell you this. We always say that with God all things are possible, right? Now watch. Moses was able to keep his spiritual equilibrium, his spiritual balance per se, okay? Because he had focused on God and his glory. And that's what I want to look at about to you today, focusing on the glory of God. So take your copy of God's word and look with me at Exodus chapter 33, which is one of the most fascinating chapters in all of the word of God. In fact, it's one of the richest chapters you'll ever come across. Now let me just say, there is more said here than I can possibly say this morning. So you can all have a sigh of relief, okay? There's way more here than I can unpack for you. But I want you to look at how, when you focus on the glory of God, on how it brings a spiritual balance, a spiritual equilibrium to your life. And when we don't focus on God, life just crashes around us. So how do we keep a spiritual balance, a spiritual focus in this life? Well, even in the midst, all right, even in the midst of spiritual, physical, and emotional roller coasters of life that wants to throw you off balance and keep your focus off of God. You know, Satan wants to do everything he can to pull you away from that. Well, today we will come to understand it is all about God's glory. In fact, let me share with you before I even get started, let me share with you with this. When you get to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, it opens the entire book of Revelation with a word about the glory of Jesus Christ. Here you see the resurrected Christ there, and here's what we read is this. It says this, verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, he, Jesus, right, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, that's how Revelation starts, but then Revelation ends at chapter 21 with these words when it speaks in the verse. That's how it starts, right? But this is how it was. Verse 23, when of there being no need of the sun. He's talking about no need of the sun or the moon to shine in the city. That's the new heaven and the new earth, by the way. Look at verse 23. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So I wanted to put that out there for this reason. I want you to understand that everything ultimately in this world will come down to the glory of God. Let me repeat that. Everything ultimately in this world, and I know you're looking at this world right now and think, what? Trust me when I tell you. Everything ultimately in this world will come down to the glory of God. Listen, let me ask. Are you focused in your life on God's glory? Are you living in His presence? Well, let me tell you, Moses was. And I want to show you that this morning. I want to show you that through Moses. Moses was perhaps focused on God's glory in a way that no one else was. And I want to share that with you in Exodus this morning. I want you to see that when you are focused on God's glory, point number one, my only point today, point number one is this. When you're focused on God's glory, it creates a hunger for more of God's glory. When you're focused on God's glory, it creates a hunger for more of God's glory. Now, when you come to Exodus, we generally think of that when we look at Exodus, we read in Exodus. When we come to that, generally what we think is that the whole theme of it is nothing but the Hebrews leaving Egypt. That's what God's primary purpose was. That was to get the Hebrews out of Egypt, to get them out of bondage, to get them out of slavery. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. That was not God's primary purpose. God's primary purpose was not to bring them out of Egypt. It was not to bring them out of slavery. Yes, He was going to bring them out, and He wanted to bring them out, but that was not His primary purpose. Understand this, God's primary purpose in getting them out of Egypt was not getting them out of slavery, it was getting them into His presence. It was to get them into His presence. That's what God wanted. That's what God desired. Now just stop and think about that in your life situation right now. Stop and think about it. I mean, think about this. Do you understand this? Whether you get this or not, I want you to understand. Do you understand that God's primary purpose in your life is not to get you out of hell? That's not what God's primary purpose is in our lives. It's not to get you out of hell. Some people have come to church only to get out of hell. I call that fire insurance. And it's not so much about God. It's so much they don't want to go to hell. But listen, that's not God's primary purpose. But the truth is, that's not the greatest thing about coming to Jesus Christ. Listen to me, folks. It's not. Now, watch. I'm convinced, and I know with security, that in my own life, in my personal life, that I will not die and go to hell. Do I deserve that? No. But I know with security in my own life that I will not die and go to hell. Why? Because I trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ lived as a man, as a God on earth, but lived as fully human as a man, and that He was sent by God to die for me for my sins. He hung on the cross, shed His blood. He was buried dead, rose 3 days from that, and then He ascended into heaven with God the Father. He did that for me for the remission of my sins. He didn't necessarily do that just to keep me out of hell. He did that to get me into His presence. But the greatest thing about salvation is not that I don't have a fear of going to hell. The greatest aspect of salvation is that I get the presence of Almighty God in my life. It's a relationship. It is to be in His presence, in fellowship, in relationship with Him. That is the greatest joy of the Christian life and of my life, and it should be of your life as well, is to be in relationship with Holy God. Now take your Bibles and look at Exodus 33, and let me show you something here. Chapter 33 follows that horrible chapter of idol worship among the Hebrews there. So what? So chapter 33 is God basically saying, I'm going to remove my presence from you because of your sin. Now, I want you to focus on something else to begin with. I want you to focus on this hunger for the presence and glory of God in your life. I want you to focus on the presence and the hunger for the glory of God in your life, just like Moses did. I want you to focus on how Moses hungered for the glory of God in his life. And I want to show you two reasons under my one point, right? Now, first, look, beginning in verse 7, what you will see here is God's desire for His people. You'll see God's desire for his people to speak in fellowship with him and he with them, right? He with us and us with him. This is what God wanted. Now, the thing to notice is this. Moses used to take his tent and pitch it outside of camp. And he called it the tent of meetings. Now, don't confuse that with the tabernacle, right? Don't confuse that. They're two different things. The tent of meetings and the tabernacle are two different things. So God gets them out of Egypt, away from Pharaoh, and he gets them down to Mount Sinai, where his glory comes down from the mountain in smoke and fire and a dark, thick, gloomy cloud, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. And there at that time, God would speak. Now, the Bible says that there was the sound of trumpets, and it grew louder and louder, that Moses would speak to God, and God would speak back. But then God spoke, and when he spoke, as a thunder, and it shook the earth. That's exactly how I would figure it, right? That's the power of his voice. You know, a couple weeks ago, somebody asked in Bible study, I think it was Tim, it said, did anybody ever hear the audible voice of God? And I raised my hand. I said, one time. And let me tell you something. You'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. I don't know how to explain it. It's as gentle as a gentle breeze blowing across the meadow of a field. And at the same time, it sounded like Niagara Falls. Like a roar. And that it says here, he spoke as a thunder, and it shook the earth. And there was lightning, and there was this storm, there was this smoke, and there was this fire. And God was saying, he was saying to his people, he's saying to them, look, I'm a holy God. You don't come close to this mountain. And so he told Moses, you put guards around the people, and you keep people away, because if they come up here on this mountain in my presence, they will die. And God says, I can't go into their presence. They're sinners. Do you understand? God cannot be in the presence of sin. And these were his people. And he's saying, stay back. But then God calls Moses up on the mountain, and do you know what he begins to do? God begins to describe to Moses the tabernacle. So he begins to describe the tabernacle, and up into chapter 33, up to that point, God says, I want you to build this tabernacle because I'm going to meet with you there. I have a place I'm going to design and set aside for you to meet me, and that's where I'm going to meet you, is there. And I'll be in the midst of my people at that point in this place. So God comes and he says, you build that because I want my presence to be in the midst of my people. So in Exodus 29, beginning in verse 43, God says this, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meetings and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell. I will dwell. I will dwell. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So God says, my desire is to be in the midst of my people. Do you understand God's great desire this morning is to be here in the middle of this place? That's his greatest desire, is to be here in the middle of this place. He desires to be in this church service, as well as every time we have any service, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday school, any meeting we have, prayer meeting, you name it, anything that happens here. He desires to be here. Do you understand that the greatest desire of God is to be in our midst? And that's also true of your home. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. That's also true of your home, and that's also true of your life. That God's great longing desire is to be the focus of your life. To be in the midst of where you are. And so he tells Moses to do that. Of course, as of yet at this point, they have not built a tabernacle. And so what Moses does is this, is that he's impatient. He can't wait, right? He's in a sermon on patience, right? But he doesn't want to wait on that. So what does he do? Moses takes a tent, and he takes his tent, in fact, and pitches it outside the camp. Look with me back in Exodus 33, chapter 33, verse 7, right? Moses takes his tent and pitches it outside the camp. Look, Moses took his tent. There you go. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched until Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. Now, that word right there, watched, you see that word watched and watched Moses? They watched Moses. That word watch right there, you see that? Some versions say gaze. Each man stood at his tent door and gazed. What does that mean? They had this hunger. They had this strong desire. And they gazed. What were they gazing at? What were they hungry for? They were hungry for the glory of God. Now, folks, that is our focus. That should be our focus. They gazed. They hungered. They riveted their attention toward the tent where the presence of God was, where the glory of God was. They were fixed on it. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his own tent door. Now watch. The tent there represents their homes. The tent represented their homes. And this should speak to us this morning about God and the glory of God in our homes. Each man would get up, and every man would get his family up, and every man would get his family in the place of worship. And there they would direct their attention. Their gaze was toward that tent and the presence of God. Right where they were focused where God was. Where God's presence would come down in smoke, and it would come down in a cloud. And that tent of meeting would begin to glow. Can you just see it? Right? What did it glow with? The glory, the Shekinah glory of God. The presence of God illuminated that place. And people saw it and riveted their attention to it because they had a hunger for the presence of God. And there they worshiped God. And a couple of things happened as a result of this. Because these people were seeking, because they were seeking God's presence, they were seeking God's presence. A, God spoke to them. How long has it been since you've heard God speak to you? They were seeking his presence. They were fixed on it. They were gazed. It was riveting to them. And because they were doing that, look, God spoke to them. Understand, when we are in the presence of God, he will speak to you. If you're fixed and seeking him, and you're looking for him for answers, and you are just riveted on that, understand, where you are in the presence of God, you will hear him speak. Likewise, God would speak to them. Now, did you notice what was said there? It said God would speak to Moses that whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and the Lord would speak with Moses. Now, look at verse 11 now, right? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Let's just stop right there. I mean, can't you wait for the day? I mean, really? Oh, that's just a verse there, or a sentence. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Here is basically what Joshua is. Joshua said, listen, he says, God's speaking, I can't leave. I'm not leaving. I'm in no hurry to get out of here. I'm staying right here where the presence of God's glory is. I don't want to leave. He's what we would call at this point on fire for God, right? Therefore, he said, I don't want to go. The camel races, they're taking on down to the other end of the camp. I don't care about those camel races going on. He said, I don't want to run out of here. I heard the goat meat that they're serving today ain't so good, so I ain't no hurry to get out of here and go to a restaurant. I don't want to run out of here and go to a football game. I guess it would be camel polo or something, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, he said, I don't want to get out of here and get down there to the football game. I'm going to stay right here because this is where the glory of God is. Therefore, there is nowhere else I'd rather be than here. Once you get into the glory of God, the presence of God, you don't want to be anywhere else. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that fascinating? That God would speak to them and they would hear God speak? Well, let me tell you something. That's a result of seeking God's glory. That's the result of seeking God's glory. You are hungry for God to speak to you, to fellowship with you. You're hungry for that. And not only that, but there was leadership. So not only would God speak, but because of their hunger for God's glory is that God would lead them. God would direct them, right? And now, how many of us here today need this? We need God's direction. We need God's leadership in our life. How many of us here need this today? Let me ask it to you another way, because we don't like to get personal, because we don't want it to be, right? Right? How much does our world need this today? If you go back to Exodus chapter 13, you back up and go to Exodus chapter 13, you will see this at the very beginning of all of this, right? That at the very beginning, God begins to lead these people. And you read this in Exodus 13, chapter 13, verse 21. Look what it says. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar and a cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. God directed it. God was leading them. So now you come to the end of Exodus chapter 40, right? You go to Exodus 40 and you come to the last few verses and you read this very same thing beginning in verse 34 of Exodus 40. Look, verse 34, Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested over it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if their cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above their tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all, right, in sight of all the house of Israel. Now notice, everybody in the nation saw it. All the Hebrews could see it. You're looking at me and say, see what? What are they seeing? See what? They could see the glory of God. The whole entire nation, the whole entire people could see the glory of God. And what? And they watched it. So not only could they hear and know what God was saying to them, but they knew which direction to move in. They were experiencing God's navigation system. We push that little button that we have in our thing and tell it where we want to go, and it tells us where we want to go. Do you know that you have something in your hands that God says, follow this, and I'll lead you. I'll take you to where I want you to be. And let me tell you something, you're going to experience something that you're never going to experience on your own. You're never going to experience it apart from me. That's God's navigation. He's navigating them. Now, that is just absolutely fascinating to me. I mean, do you not think that that would impact the way you live life? Would you not think that that would impact the way that you see life? That it would not impact about how you feel about life? That when you begin to focus your life on the glory of God and say, God, nothing is more important in my life than you. Nothing's more important in my life than you and the glory of you in my life. You don't think that that's going to change things? And you could begin to hear him speak. Now watch. You're seeking him and you begin to hear him speak in the middle of everyday life. In the middle of work, in the middle of taking care of the bills, in the middle of making decisions, in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of trying to decide what am I going to do next and where am I going to go next, in the middle of your life, to hear God speak to your heart and know what direction to go in because God is the focus of my life. Is God the focus of your life when you're making a decision about a job? Is God the focus of your life when you're thinking about maybe having kids? Is God the focus of your life when you're thinking about a relationship? Look at Isaiah chapter 30 where Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah chapter 30, this is really interesting about God and about listening to God. Look, Isaiah 30 verse 20, look what it says, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, now there's something you don't like. Huh? That's a tough pill right there. Read that. I didn't say that. God said that. We don't like that. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. In other words, you will be able to see God in his glory. Verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand. We all say that we got that little voice. Now what Isaiah is saying here is this, is the same thing that you read back in Exodus chapter 33, and it's this, when we focus on God's glory and that becomes the focus of our glory, right? We focus on God's glory and that becomes the focus of our glory. We you're happy to be a Christian. You're content. You want to be, right? When we focus on God's glory and that becomes the focus of our glory, then listen, there's something that happens. We can hear him. What's the number one way that God speaks to most of us? Anybody have what's through his word. And what are we supposed to do with his word? Read it, study it, hide it in our heart, right? We've got it in our hands. Listen, you got a computer, it'll read it for you. When that becomes the focus of our glory, then we can hear him speak and he directs our steps every single step of the way. Now, here is the interesting thing. Moses was out of God's glory right at this moment back in Exodus 33. Remember, he's down with the people off the mountain and out of God's presence, right? He left God's presence. He's down in the sin pit now, right? And he's back down there with all these people who have rebelled. And now all these people who have rebelled, and I'm not going to go all the way through this rebellion, but most of you all know this story. But 40 days, look, watch this. 40 days after God makes a covenant with his people, they make an idol, a golden calf, and they start worshiping that thing. 40 days. Now that makes you wonder, doesn't it? Pick up your feet. Pick up your feet. It makes you wonder that in the short amount of times it takes for us to rebel against God once we've come into this place of worship and experience the presence of God, how long it takes us to get out the presence of God once we walk out those back doors. We hear it, we know it, and we go do exactly what it says not to do. It doesn't even take us 40 days. Right? These people, 40 days after God makes a covenant with them, after just hearing the word of God in the direction of God, they rebel. Likewise, after all that God has just done for them in leading them out of captivity, are you saved? Then you have been led out of captivity. God just leading them out of captivity. And while Moses is up on that mountain, in that very short amount of time, they melted down their jewelry and crafted a golden calf. And said, this is our God now. This golden calf brought us out of Egypt. Exodus 32, verse 4. Okay, so now Moses is down off the mountain, right? He's left God's presence. He's down off the mountain, and he's walking around all these people who have rebelled with the great sin of idolatry. We don't have that much today, do we? With the great sin of idolatry, just 40 days after God had entered into the covenant with them, and now Moses, you know what he does? Moses, he's some kind of guy, you know. You know what Moses does? He begins to pray. Now, I want your attention, guys. I want your attention. He begins to pray. This is a very important and pivotal point to obtaining and keeping God's presence right here. Look in verse 13. Now, therefore what? Because of the sin had gone wrong, right? Right? He says, now, therefore, I pray. If I found grace in your sight, I love the verse in that song that they praise Bram Perry. He says, grace is the reason I want to change. Right? He says, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Gotten ourselves into a mess. God, if I've got any grace in your sight, show me your way. What was the opening song? I didn't speak to Mike about this sermon. Isn't that incredible? Lord, show me the way. Rod Adams had to be singing along. I know he was. Show me your way. God, let me know the path that you're on. Let me see you, Lord. Let me see you. God, I've heard your voice before. I heard it before. You've directed my steps in the past, but now I'm out of the presence of your glory, and I don't know what to do. I find myself outside of your will. I find myself outside of your. I don't know what to do. You see the desperation in Moses? He had the presence, and now he was out. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. So let me ask you, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like that? Listen, I know some of you are there now. Poor Roger and Karen and everything they're going through. By the way, Roger got very bad news. He went to the doctor. There's nothing they can do. They recommended they call hospice. So, but our prayers are to a greater God because he has a direction, right? He has a will, right? We know that. But I know this, that Roger is a child of the King. Right? Right? So anyways, look, are you there now? Have you been to that place? What's... I can say this, all your kids are older now, but have you ever been to a place where you thought, what in the world am I going to do with these kids? Yeah. Pam's like, Kevin smiles. Pam's like, yeah, I've been there. Does it get easier when they're adults? No. Yeah, Kevin says yes. Pam's like, mm. Bigger kids? Absolutely. God, I don't know what to do with these kids. I've tried everything. I don't know what to do with this marriage. I need your help. I need your guidance. I don't know what to do with this job. Is this the right thing for me to do? Is this the right thing for me? Is this the right thing for my family? I don't know what to do. What do I do with all these bills that are mounting up? Lord, I don't know what to do with all these issues in my life. And the Lord's probably looking at you and saying, yeah, you have issues. You are an issue. But then you come to that point where you cry out and you say, God, I'm just so hungry to hear you speak. I am so thirsty for you to direct my steps. But God, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. What did Moses do? Moses comes and he prays and he says, God, I'm praying. Speak to me. Speak to me. I desire your presence. I need you to speak into me. I need something from you, Lord. You say, but I've been praying that. I want you to notice something. Please, God, have grace on me. Do you see that? That's Moses. If I can find grace in your sight, God, have grace on me. I believe I can read into this. I'm stepping away. This is my opinion. I believe I can read into that. God saying, forgive me. Change me. Change this. Change me. Listen, God's never changed. Think about it. Maybe it's you that's changed. Please, God, have grace on me. Forgive me. And praise God, will you show me your way? Give me direction. Now, I want to show you something here. Moses is praying, but that's not enough for Moses, right? He's praying because Moses prays again. Now look at verse 18. Right? He prays once. Now watch. He prays again. He starts out with praying with God. Right. He starts out with God praying. Right. That's what they're doing. And he says, "Show me your way." And then look at what he prays in verse 18. He says, "And he said, please, show me your glory." Have grace. Show me your way. And then he comes back and he says, oh Lord, please show me your glory. Moses is saying this, I don't want to just know your way. I don't want to just get out of hell card free. How's Monopoly say that? Get out of jail card free. We don't want, you know, a lot of people just want to get out of hell card free. He said, I don't want to just know your way. Don't just point me to the road to go, God. Just don't say, this is what you know how to do to be saved. He said, I don't just want to know the road to go, God, but what I really hunger for is I hunger to see you in my life. I hunger to see you, Lord. Please show me your glory. Understand, Moses had 40 days personally in the presence of God, with he speaking to God and God speaking to him as a friend. Just like me and Zeke were talk, or me and Haas would talk, or me and Richie, or me and whoever, right? It's, look, they talk just like that. I know. Every time I say that, and I'm with you. I get that. I mean, I can't wait. 40 days in the presence of God. But understand something. For Moses, those 40 days created nothing but a hunger. Those 40 days created nothing but a hunger. So let me ask, have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Has there been a time in your life that you've been in a closer relationship or a closer presence with God than you are right now? And then let me ask you this, are you hungry for his presence? Are you hungry to get that back? Are you hungry to be there? Well, notice what Moses does about it. Look what he does. He comes back and he asks God, get me back into your presence and back into your glory. Get me back into fellowship with you. Listen, once you've had the presence of God in your life, once you've had his fellowship in your life, his word in your life, his guidance in your life, listen to me very closely. 40 days isn't enough. 40 years isn't enough. 44,000 years won't be enough to spend all the time in God's glory. In fact, you will desire it for all of eternity. That's why we keep looking at each other. We don't just desire it now. We want it. We want it all the way. You'll desire all the way through all eternity. Now, let me just tell you something. Here's a good mark. Here's a good mark to measure your spiritual life. Do you hunger for the presence of God? Do you desire to hear him speak? Do you desire his leadership in your life for direction? Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something that you probably haven't realized for some time now. Life is hard. Life is hard. And there are days when we get totally knocked off our feet, literally, emotionally, and spiritually. It happens. It happens. Trust me when I tell you, I get it. I truly do. But on those days, in those times, do you hunger for the presence of God? Or do you get mad at him? You had me wandering around this stupid desert for 40 years? Not fair! God's not fair, he's just. In those days, when it's all going downhill, and there never seems to be anywhere there's an upturn, in those days do you hunger for the presence of God? So thus comes the question, where is your focus? Do you really truly hunger for God's glory? Do you truly hunger for his presence when your marriage is falling apart? When you lose your job, when you lose a loved one, when you lose a relationship, or when you're just plain out falling apart? Can you see his glory? Or is it something has faded in the distant past? Because trust me, when you have seen his glory, you'll want more of it. You will hunger for it. In fact, like Moses, you will ask for it. Like Moses, you will cry out to God, have grace on me. Do you ever ask the Lord to show you you? Right? Show me your glory. Give me your grace. Show me your glory. I need it in my life. Can you say that today? You see, Moses went to the Lord in prayer. He sought for God to speak to him and for God to give him direction and for his and to give him his fellowship, to give him his presence. So listen to me. If you're having a hard time today and you're not experiencing the glory of God, let me ask you this question. If that's you today, what do you think you should do? Oh, this is, listen, I made this so simple for you guys. You're not experiencing the glory of God. You need his direction in your life. You're not getting out of life where you think you should be. You're not having the fellowship with God. What do you think you should do? Go to God. Cry out to him. Rivet your focus on him. Cry out to him in what? In pray. Go in prayer and say, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. Have grace on me. Show me your glory. Show it to me, Lord. Listen, that is some of you today, and that may be you today. Question is this, do you need the glory of God to show up in your life, in your situation today? I've said all this to come down to tell you this, and then we're going to go home. If that's you today, go to Him in prayer. I have. You got to the point of desperation, of crying out. Go to Him in prayer. As the praise band comes, my question to you this morning is, would you seek His face and ask God to speak to you, to guide you, and to reveal His glory to you? Listen, I do this every once in a while, so I'm going to do it all corporately. How many in here are saved? All right, praise God. Thank you. Put your hands back down. You have a God to cry out to. Think about it. And He tells you to do that. It says, come to me in everything in prayer. So you have a God to go to. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can't do that. What you can do is come out and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need your presence to come into my life. And I need to be saved. Then when you give your life to Christ through belief, by faith in Jesus Christ, then you have a God to go to, just like Moses and the people did, who are wandering around in the desert, that the glory of God showed up, the voice of God showed up, and the direction of God showed up. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. Give us what we need. Show us what we have in store for us when we seek after you. Lord, we know that our hearts don't deserve your glory. We know that. But still, your word says you show us a love that we can't afford. You're such a good, good God. Your good and your love endures forever. So we thank you, Father. Therefore, God, in your goodness, in your mercy, and yes, most of all, Lord, in your grace, please let your glory fall on this place. Let us see you, Lord. Let us see you. Let us see your glory. Let us see it in this place. Reveal yourself. Reveal your glory to us. Let our focus be on you. Let us not be in a hurry to move until we see it. Let your spirit move, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The altar is open. Welcome to come.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my thank you.
prayer additionally, you come and see me or one of the leaders here. They'll be more than happy to pray with you. Don't forget, next Sunday we won't be here. We'll be at where?
Brook
Hills Park, correct. So if you need directions, I think you can go online and get them, or they printed them. But listen, the Lord says that if we seek him, he will be found. Faithful, right? But he says if we seek him, we will be found. Listen, if you've been found, don't forget who you are when you walk out those back doors. Go in the glory of God. Go in the presence of God. Go in the fellowship of Christ. God bless you, and you're dismissed.
You are more.